I'd like to start out by telling you about a story about a young man named Chris McCandless. Some of you might have heard of him. There's actually a movie coming out about him here shortly, which I haven't seen and don't want to recommend. Chris McCandless was, he was young. The girls thought he was pretty good looking. He was rich, and he was quite well educated. Most of us wouldn't mind having at least one of four of those things. He seemed to have them all. He graduated with honors from Emory University with a double major in history and anthropology. His father was a well-respected aerospace engineer who had worked for NASA and Hughes Aircraft. And Chris, even when he graduated, had quite a sizable scholarship left. But he wasn't interested in money. He wasn't interested in what he saw as a sort of a futile materialism that was gripping America. He wasn't interested in the day-to-day rat race that he saw around him. He felt sort of a certain shallowness and a certain hypocrisy from many of the of his teachers and many of the people that he saw around him. And so he wanted to sort of throw that off. And so he began to search. He began to search for some meaning and some purpose in his life. And that meaning and purpose took him all across the country. He decided he was going to donate his scholarship to Oxfam because he was interested in fighting poverty around the world. He decided he was going to abandon his car because he didn't want to be encumbered with that, and he decided he was going to hitchhike. And so he started to hitchhike across the United States. He was from the East Coast, and he came to the West Coast, and he decided he wanted to canoe down the Colorado River down to Baja, California. He decided he wanted to walk across the Sierras. He wanted to go up through the Cascades, and he wanted to spend time in the Rocky Mountains and in the deserts of Utah. He burned all the cash in his wallet. He got rid of all his possessions. And he just went from town to town, and he would work a little bit, kind of in a fast food restaurant here, make a little money, gather up some supplies for his next trek. And he just carried whatever he had on his backpack. He finally decided he wanted to go to Alaska. And he had been studying up on eating edible plants. And he had gone, literally weeks just living off the land. And he had a small rifle he was going to take with him. And he decided he wanted to go up to Alaska. And he wanted to experience the true wilderness and just get away from society. And he followed in the footsteps of many people who have done that. Many people might have heard of or read Walden Pond and Henry David Thoreau. He wanted to put off the society. You know, Chris McCandless was looking for something. And, you know, a lot of youth, a lot of young people are looking for something. They see something's not quite right about the way this society is set up, the way our culture works, this culture which is so fascinated with, you know, things that just don't seem to matter. You know, we get the latest on Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton, and we wonder, you know, what's the point? You know, I don't care that OJ is in jail. You know, it just doesn't, why do we keep talking about these things? And you know, a lot of people begin to step back and they just say, what is the matter? And Chris, he took it to the next level. He decided he was just going to go out and he was going to experience this wilderness, this wonderful country. And so in April of 1992, he hitchhiked into the Alaska wilderness, having given away and just dispensed with this world. He was looking for something. And even after 2 years of wandering, he still hadn't found it. And, you know, he's searching. And there's a song that some people might know. It's a very famous song from 1987 that they still play on the radio. It's done by a band called U2. And the famous refrain from that song goes, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for." And the fact is that many people have not found what they're looking for. Many young people especially haven't found, and they go to all sorts of extremes to find out what that is. In this case, Chris decided he wasn't going to go with drugs and rock and roll and the sort of shallow culture that he saw. He was going to just experience life to the fullest. You know, this Feast of Tabernacles pictures a time where people are going to find what they're looking for. It pictures a time of rest. And Mr. Siegel made reference to this passage in Matthew 11, verse 28, where he talked about how, where Jesus Christ said, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, brethren, what does that mean for us? Because there's a lot of people in this room, and presumably we've found what we're looking for. At least I hope so. You know, Jesus Christ has given many of us rest, and yet many of us still live with the constant bombardment of this society. And so we have this rest. We've been given rest. We've been given hope. We have this vision, hopefully, of the world tomorrow and of God's kingdom that we're celebrating here at the feast. But we live in a culture that bombards us with messages about our priorities, with values and purposes that are contrary to God's way of life. And so we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, are we renewing ourselves in this rest, in this hope? Are we getting ourselves back to what that purpose is, what we were looking for, that first love, as we've heard about? As we've heard earlier about the need to rest, I have a simple request here today, and that is to take the time during this feast to renew yourself spiritually, and use this feast as a springboard to practice renewal throughout the year. You know, we don't have to go off and hike into Alaska or comb the United States hitchhiking and so forth to sort of get a sense of what our meaning and our purpose is. But the fact is that Satan wants to discourage us. He wants to have us lose that vision. He wants us to become discouraged. And we need to renew ourselves. And what better time than the Feast of Tabernacles to do that? And I have a couple of scriptures that I just want to go through here as we think about this. I'm going to go over to Luke 5. In verse 16, and if you're taking points, this would be the first point. The first point is, let's get away and pray. That's pretty simple, right? Get away and pray. Luke 5, verse 16. Let's look at the example of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, as he was fully human here and God in the flesh, even Jesus Christ needed a chance to get away and pray. Luke 5, verse 16. So he himself often withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Now, why would Jesus Christ want to do this? And there's many examples, actually, we can read, but we just won't take the time, of where Jesus Christ withdrew himself. And, interestingly enough, into the wilderness. He wanted to get away from what was going on around him. And he wanted to connect with his Father. I hope we've taken the time to find a place in our tabernacle, in our temporary dwelling, where we can get down on our knees and we can ask God for a refreshing, for a renewal. I hope we found that spot. And if we haven't, I really encourage all of us to find that spot in our rooms, a quiet place. And if you haven't gotten out into this beautiful landscape of Central Oregon and had a chance to meditate on God's will for your life, where you've come and where you're going, I'd really encourage you to do that. Take the time. Jesus Christ took the time. He withdrew himself. It was part of what he was doing here on earth. He needed that encouragement. He needed that strength. He needed that connection because he was one with the Father. He couldn't go without it. And so he withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed. Let's look over at Matthew 26 in verse 36. Just a couple pages back. Matthew 26 and verse 36. And if you're taking notes again, the second point here is anticipate your challenges and renew your strength now. Anticipate your challenges and renew your strength now. Matthew 26 and verse 36, what did Jesus Christ do before the greatest trial that would come upon him? He withdrew himself into a garden and prayed. Matthew 26, verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. So he brought all his disciples into the garden. In verse 37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Right? So he had everybody there. Then he withdrew himself a little bit more, taking a couple people with him. And then verse 38, he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. And we read this every Passover, and so hopefully we're familiar with it. But the fact is, he was in a garden, and he took the time, and he prayed, because he knew that a great trial was going to be coming upon him. Many in this room might recall something that Mr. Herbert Armstrong spoke about a lot, and he wrote about a lot, where he would take several days off. He'd go into a hotel room or motel room, and he would pray for an hour, meditate for an hour, study for an hour. Many of you probably remember that, when he would talk about that. That's quite hard to do. I don't know how many of you have tried that. I actually tried that once. It was a camping trip up at, interestingly enough, Mount Shasta. Mr. King made reference to Mount Shasta. A couple of us climbed Mount Shasta a couple years ago. And, you know, I lasted about two cycles, about 6 hours. But you know what? I was very invigorated, very refreshed. And, you know, an hour is a long time to go, so you might try 15 minutes. Try it that way. 15 minutes of prayer, 15 minutes of study or meditation, and then 15 minutes of study and meditation, and then start again. You might be surprised at how invigorated you feel, because you are connecting with your Father. You're connecting with God. Point number three, take a few friends along. And this one, I'm not even going to go to another scripture because it's right here. Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ didn't just go off and disappear by himself in this case in Matthew 26:36? You know, not like some people where they just go off and become hermits like Chris did, right? Just sort of wander the byways, leave his family behind, leave his friends behind, and go off and just sort of, you know, just be by himself. No, Jesus Christ didn't set us an example that way. Jesus Christ brought all 12, then he brought a few, and then he stepped away. But you know what's interesting is he came back. Now, the scripture doesn't elaborate here, as we read in Matthew 26:36, but we know he came back and they were sleeping. And that wasn't very helpful, was it? He wasn't very happy about that. He's like, can't you guys even stay awake and be praying here? Right? Why did Jesus Christ bring those people? We don't know, but presumably it's because he wanted to talk to them. He had something to say to them, or maybe he wanted to hear something from them. Maybe he wanted to have a teaching opportunity. But you know, as we renew spiritually, it's good to talk to somebody. We pray, we meditate, we study, and then we have somebody close to us, and we share that with them. We say, you know, I've been thinking about something. You know, this year's been a tough year, and you know, I was just thinking about this, and you have a chance to connect and get some feedback, and then you take that and you think about it, and you go back and you pray and you renew. And pretty soon those priorities, that those things that seem so important to us when before we started, they begin, you know, the fog begins to lift. And we begin to see, oh, this is the way I should have been looking at this situation. It seems so clear right now. Why was I nervous? Why was I worried? Why was I fearful? We begin to have the Holy Spirit fill us with that strength, not that spirit of timidity that it talks about in 2 Timothy, but that spirit of power and love and a sound mind, or discipline, as the text talks about. You know, there are about 1,000 people in this hall right now, but I know that there are some people in this room who might feel alone in the crowd. There are some people here who maybe just need to share something, and they need a little bit of encouragement. And if you're one of those people that needs that, I'd really encourage you to reach out when the right time comes, and that you would renew. And if you're one of those people whose cup is full, it's just full, this feast, that you would look out for some of those people, because some of those people need a refreshing, and they need a renewal, and they need some encouragement. You know, just like an athlete who rests before and after a big race, we have to rest and renew ourselves. It's not enough just to say, yeah, I know the kingdom of God is there, and I know it's coming, and I know I'm at this feast, and I know I should be rejoicing. We've got to truly rejuvenate and renew ourselves. We have to rest to clear out the junk that's accumulated in our minds and our hearts, the junk that, despite our desire to live according to God's law, just accumulates because of those priorities. And after 5 days here, I hope that you're beginning to feel that pressure and that tension that comes that from living in this world, from having to deal with the people that we deal with. And as I talked to someone last night, you know, there's a reason they call it work, right? It's work. There's no perfect job. There's no perfect student. There's no perfect teacher if you're a student. There's no perfect situation, and there's no perfect parents if you're a young person, right? There's nothing perfect about this life or about this world, but God gives us a chance to learn from these things and to clear it out. If we allow God's Spirit to completely fill us, all of us, then that peace and that joy and that comfort can come back. What better place to start, to jumpstart this process in the Feast of Tabernacles? It's not too late if you haven't done it. You can get up just a little bit earlier, or maybe take a little bit of time in an afternoon to go out for a nice long walk and meditate. Maybe start that walk with some prayer before, maybe in your room, and then go out for that walk, and then come back and do some study, and really refresh yourself spiritually. And you know, if you're a young person, you can connect with God the Father. You have a connection. You have an ability to ask, what does this all mean? What am I doing here? Is this feast for me? Is this what I should be doing here? Is this my parents' religion, or is it my religion? You know, am I praying into my bedroom? Am I praying to my ceiling? Am I praying to my bedspread? I mean, what is this all about? And just start asking God, start showing yourself to me. You know, if you're real, start showing yourself to me. I want to understand you. And if there's a particular issue that you're dealing with, ask Him for help with that. That's the connection. And that's where you begin to start seeing some answers. You know, Chris McCandless was a young man who really, truly wanted to understand what his life meant. And he went to great lengths to try to understand that. When he walked into that wilderness in 1992, he was fairly prepared, even though a lot of people thought he wasn't so prepared. He actually had really thought a lot about what he wanted to do in that wilderness and how he wanted to really understand what his life meant. But despite his best intentions, you know, the Alaskan wilderness is quite unforgiving. And he made a few mistakes. And sadly, about 4 months later, they discovered his remains in a bus where he had been staying. And he weighed at that time about 68 pounds. Chris McCandless died in the Alaska wilderness searching. He was searching for something. And he tried real hard to find it. He followed in the footsteps of a lot of young people who are really searching, truly searching. And if you're searching, I hope you can begin to connect with Jesus Christ and God the Father, because they've got some answers. And for those of us who have God's Holy Spirit, I really do hope that we can renew and refresh ourselves this Feast of Tabernacles. Take the time to rest and renew, to prepare for the trials ahead, and build the relationships that we'll need for the journey.